Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, great to have John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the house on this Tuesday. We got a lot to get to here in the 8 o'clock hour because we've got a busy 9 o'clock hour. Montana Secretary of State Christy Jacobson joining us in the studio next hour of this show. So looking forward to hearing what she wants to talk about. I know I want to hear the latest on election integrity measures and so much more, especially as we look to the midterm elections next year. And you know these radical left-wing folks are on the march, so what shenanigans might they be up to heading into the midterm elections? But, John, of course, we got to start by talking about Israel taking it to the terrorists in Tehran, just one by one, wiping out senior terrorist leaders in Tehran. They're also wiping out a lot of their nuclear infrastructure as well. Apparently, they just need a bunker buster or two, and they could be close to mission complete.
What have you been hearing? I've been hearing this my whole life about how this was this gigantic monster out there that, oh, my God, we can't do anything to them. It'll spark World War III. Well, look what Israel did in just a couple of days. They have crippled them. That place is done. They are like a dog turned up with his paws in the air, just over and out. Everybody's fleeing the city. You see the videos out there. It'll just be a matter of time before the remaining leadership that Israel hasn't assassinated are going to be leaving the place. Now is the time. We've been waiting for this for 50 years. Overthrow this terrorist regime once and for all.
So I like the point that Montana's U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy, a Navy SEAL veteran, made yesterday. He was on with Kayleigh McEnany. He said this: the Obama and Biden administration spent years appeasing Iran while they chant death to America. And of course, he's lost fellow service members directly because of Iran and their killing American troops over the years. But he says President Trump has played this perfectly, and now Iran wants a deal. Keep it up. And to your point, John, Israel's getting the job done. The United States is trying to broker a peace agreement. We're not getting into the war or a war. But the bigger picture here is this. You got a lot of folks out there who think they're more MAGA than Donald Trump, lecturing Donald Trump about this. Donald Trump is promises made, promises kept. One of the promises he has made consistently for the last several years on the campaign trail and as president of the United States is that Iran cannot be allowed to get a nuclear weapon. And yet some of these people that pretend to be more MAGA than Mr. MAGA himself are saying, what are you doing? Why are you allowing Israel to do this? And it's just like, if you're a libertarian, what kind of liberty do you think you would have if the terrorists in Tehran get their hands on a nuke?
Well, the other thing is, too, you have to understand and I get where some of these people are coming from. We have, as the United States, 60 years through both political parties, just horrible foreign policy and foreign conflict background. We have done this really, really badly as you can do it for the last 60 years. And people are done with it. But you have to understand, just because they did that badly, we have a chance here to knock over people that have been terrorizing the world for 50 years. We got to take it. But get in and out. Boom, boom, boom.
All right. Boom, boom, boom. We got to take a quick boom, boom, boom break. Then we'll get to Mike and Anaconda on the phone lines. Plus, we've got the phone lines open for you as well. 406-294-0970. Or you can message us on the Montana Talks app.
It's June 17th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is Tessellation Day. Even if you don't know what it means, you have most likely seen it many times. Tessellation is an arrangement of shapes closely fitted together, especially of polygons, in a repeated pattern without gaps or overlapping. The earliest known example being used from the Sumerians in about 4000 BC, who made snazzy wall designs using repeated patterns made from clay tiles. Also on this day in 1994, O.J. Simpson leads Los Angeles police on a low-speed chase along a freeway. Police suspected the former football star, actor, and sports commentator of killing his wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend, Ronald Goldman. Born on this day in 1980, tennis legend Venus Williams, who along with her sister Serena are credited with ushering in a new era of power and athleticism on the Women's Pro Tour, a winner of 6 Grand Slam titles, including 5 Wimbledon championships. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Big topics. Big ideas. Big Sky, Montana Talks.
All right, let's start with a caller here, Mike in Anaconda, listening to KXTL. Mike, what's on your mind this morning? Thanks for the call.
Hey, Andy, we were talking about you this weekend. I was golfing with Aaron Auclair, old Wick, there in Seeley Lake, and you came up and we had a little conversation about you. I'm pretty sure you know who he is, but anywho, let me give you an analogy, and please let me explain myself after I'm done. Iran is like that big douche that you don't like. He don't like you. You've probably fought each other a few times. There's no secret you don't like each other. Israel's kind of like your best friend who likes to get in fights in bars that you got to clean up and go fight some guy that you don't even know because of your friend while your friend's sneaking back around trying to screw your wife. Now, the reason I say this is because if you look at 9/11, and you look into the Greater Israel Project, and you look at the five wars in 7 years, Netanyahu telling us that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. Well, we've yet to find any of those, and what we do, we went and destabilized the Middle East.
Okay, but this is Goose, right? Whatever you think about the Iraq war and all of that, Iran has openly told you they are openly chanting death to America. They are so no matter what you thought about the Iraq war, like, this is a totally different situation. You are okay with Iran getting a nuclear weapon?
No, not at all. But how many years have we heard Iran's going to have a nuclear weapon? I date back at least 20 years. All that we've heard is Iran's going to have a nuclear weapon.
And the time is here.
Go to war with Israel.
And the time is here.
How about a little America first? I'm tired of talking about Israel, talking about Ukraine. How about some America first?
This is America first, making sure that Iran doesn't have access to a nuclear weapon.
Israel first.
I respect that you don't want to be involved over there, and nobody wants to get drawn into a war over there. But Goose, appreciate the phone call. John, his analogy of, okay, Israel is the friend that's always getting into fights, and then you got to go in and bail them out. Actually, I see it a different way. I see it as you're sitting at a bar just minding your own business. Somebody is about to come sucker punch you with your back turned on them or knife you in the back. Israel is the friend that just took care of the situation and had your back. That's the way I see Israel in the Middle East right now and for a long time, frankly.
And he has that opinion he has right here. It's the same opinion a lot of people have, because you know what? We are shell-shocked from 60 years of our government lying to us and keeping us in these conflicts for 20 years and trillions of dollars and thousands of lives lost, okay? We are shell-shocked. We don't believe anything anymore, okay? But what you do know is this. Donald Trump is in that White House right now. You know his perspective on this. He's going to lend the Israelis a little bit of naval help, a little bit of air help, and maybe a few bunker busters, and this thing will be over in a couple of weeks. It's over right now. All they are doing is mopping up the place right now. It's over right now. There's not going to be a single boot on the ground over there. And like I said, 50 years of terrorism from this country, they are responsible for thousands of our dead soldiers over there in Iraq, and it's time for them to pay.
They have been the ones there behind all of these proxies that have basically, you know, infiltrated terrorists onto American soil. The Houthis have basically just been a proxy force for the Iranians, firing missiles at our troops and at American interests. I appreciate Goose's point about, oh, well, people have been saying that the Iranians want to get their hands on nuclear missiles for years. Well, yeah, that's exactly why, you know, when Tehran John Tester and the Democrats were backing this wimpy Iranian deal, all of us were out here saying all you're doing is making it easier for Iran to continue lying to the world and to get their hands on a nuclear weapon. Well, now that moment is here, and that's why Israel's, you know, had to do what they finally had to do here to take out their nuclear capabilities before they actually got their hand on several nukes, because we know they would use them on Israel, and they already chant death to America, so we know they would use them on us. And by the way, this whole idea that it's just Israel here, okay, go look at the map. Go look at almost every other country around Iran. They all see the terrorists in Tehran as a threat.
Well, it's so similar to, you know, what you heard over the weekend about this, you know, about all the illegals out there. And the notion that, oh my God, because we've let this illegal alien situation go on for 50 freaking years now, gosh, they're so embedded into our economy now, gosh, we can't go after this section and this section and the other section, right? And the idea that now we've let Iran and Gaza, the Palestinians, and all these people go for so long and amass such weapons and such power, oh, we can't get into that, you know, we can't clean that up now. No, what you have is the perfect storm right now of Netanyahu in Israel and Trump in the White House, and now it is time to take care of all family business, just like Michael Corleone said.
Montana Joe in Billings says this: I'm disappointed that Trump stopped Israel from taking out Iran's leader. Now is the time to cut the head off this evil snake. To your point, John, Iran should have made a deal. Here's what Jesse Waters had last night.
Have you heard any signals or seen any messages from intermediaries that Iran wishes to de-escalate the conflict?
Yeah.
What have you heard? What have you heard from the Iranians?
They'd like to talk, but they should have done that before. I had 60 days, and they had 60 days, and on the 61st day, I said, we don't have a deal. They have to make a deal. And it's painful for both parties, but I'd say Iran is not winning this war. And they should talk, and they should talk immediately before it's too late.
Democrats call Trump the taco president, a.k.a. Trump always chickens out. But he gave the Iranians a deadline for a deal, and they missed the deadline. So he let Netanyahu go at him. Now Iran's begging for mercy.
All right, we'll hold it right there. What about Iranian state TV and their explosive coverage? We'll talk about that next.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The Bureau of Business Economic Research at the University of Montana was established in 1948, and for much of its history, it has compiled and reported forecasts for the major regions of the state. A fundamental building block for those forecasts has been the designation and measurement of activity in a small subset of the economy referred to as base industries. Base industries can loosely be defined as industries which sell and do business with the export sector, which refers to markets and customers outside the county. It's been a useful way to think about economic outlooks, except for one thing. It misses a new force driving growth, especially in the regions adjacent to national parks, and that is population in migration. People are moving to places like the Flathead because they want to be there, not necessarily because economic growth is pulling them in. With remote work and investment nest eggs, they're bringing their jobs and incomes with them. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. The Trump administration is fighting back on a ban of semi-automatic firearms. The U.S. Department of Justice hasn't done this before, but they filed a briefing with the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in an ongoing case about a ban of semi-automatics and so-called high-capacity magazines out of Illinois. The federal government in this brief is siding with the plaintiff, Caleb Barnett, who is suing the state of Illinois over their bans. In the brief, the DOJ even argues the Seventh Circuit made the wrong call in an earlier case upholding the bans. In that previous case, the circuit court ruled firearms like the AR-15-style rifles are militaristic and therefore outside the protection of the Second Amendment. The DOJ now says even if that is the case, that's not enough to ban them under the Supreme Court rulings like Heller and the Bruin decisions. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, John, I know you saw this yesterday. I think I saw you tweet it out, and Jesse Waters had a great segment last night. He also covered this explosive coverage by Iranian state TV yesterday. They're in the middle of a live TV broadcast, and then...
آنچه که ملاحظه کردید، صدایی که شنیدید، فضای غبارآلود استادیوم.
I had to mute our microphones there.
Oh, my God.
It's Clark, it's the gift that keeps giving all year long.
She was right there. She was saying, let me tell you something. The infidels, we have the infidel Israelis on the run. Do not worry about anything.
It is peaceful. These are non-violent things happening in Tehran. I mean, she was like CNN and MSNBC covering the yellow riots. Nothing to see here, folks. Everything.
Remember Saddam Hussein as he was getting pummeled, right? He said, this will be the mother of all battles. And it was like over in 12 hours. You know, that's what she's telling her. Man.
But my favorite was like at the end after you hear the... And then you hear the... Oh, man. All right. Then I got to add one more thing here before I get to our next caller. Because, yeah, then Jesse Waters, right after delivering that explosive news, gave a rundown of just what our friends in Israel have been up to over the past couple of days.
Tel Aviv is claiming full aerial superiority over Iranian airspace. They downed two Iranian fighter jets today after top Iranian military officials were taken out Friday. Israel says they've already destroyed a third of Iran's missile launchers, and nuclear sites are getting pummeled so badly that residents are being warned of radiation spillage. The IDF is warning that Iran will pay the price, and they've scheduled this campaign to last 2 weeks.
All right, John, just one more. Just bear with me here. Just one more. I'm like Bill Clinton with my biting my lower lip.
Just a little bit more.
I just got to hear it one more time.
آنچه که ملاحظه کردید، صدایی که شنیدید، فضای غبارآلود استادیوم.
Hey, all right.
Oh, that is just the feel-good video of the day. You know, right? It really is.
You know, you got to have a heartwarming story. You know, it's people want positive news, too. You know, I know that, you know, the TV business, they're all about if it bleeds, it leads. But sometimes you need to have that heartwarming story in there as well.
It's like I said, you just can't overstate how amazing this is. I mean, I've been listening to this for 25 years about how they were this monster that could not be touched because they were backed up by Russia. It was caused World War III. I mean, are you kidding me? Like Putin right now, Putin is like, he's calling Trump on his birthday the other day. He don't want anything to do with any of this. He had to borrow troops from North Korea just to help himself in Ukraine. He does not want any part of this.
All right, let's go back into the phone lines here. 406-294-0970. Craig in Billings, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Did you hear about that idiot rocker from New Jersey over in Berlin?
I didn't. Yeah, this is, you told our producer, Caden. So Bruce Springsteen, is he in Berlin right now, or was that when he fell on the stage?
Well, he was given a concert, it was reported this last weekend, where he pulled a Dixie Chicks, talking about how evil President Trump is, and the crowd just went wild. So I think it's time that the country Dixie Chick him.
You know, I think they already did. I think they've already kind of just ignored Bruce Springsteen. Speaking of these 60s washouts, like the low energy Zumba class that took place with the bongo drum players in Bozeman, that's what Bruce Springsteen is. He's a washout, and his anti-American screeds on foreign soil, just no surprise.
Well, and there was supposed to be a rule after we did that with the Dixie Chicks, you don't go outside the country and do that. But I wouldn't expect anything less from him.
Oh, they love it. You know, maybe he can move to Ireland with Rosie O'Donnell. John Jackson, your thoughts. Craig, thanks for the call.
Well, that's actually not true right there because, see, Bruce Springsteen hasn't performed in a long time. Now, there is an aging lesbian out there impersonating him. You know, she's been doing a lot of touring lately and a lot of trash talking, but Bruce Springsteen hasn't been seen in years.
So that's actually a body double that's out there.
Yeah, it's Megan Rapinoe. It's Megan Rapinoe, is that actually who it is, yeah.
Does he look like Rachel Maddow from MSNBC? Because you got Mark Cuban looks like Rachel Maddow now. All the other dudes on MSN, they all look like Rachel Maddow.
No, look at him. He looks like Megan Rapinoe at age 65. That's exactly who he looks like.
Oh, interesting. See,
yeah, take a look at it.
See, if I see anything from Bruce Springsteen, I don't even look. I don't even click. I don't even listen. If one of his songs comes on my music playlist, I immediately move on to. I don't even want to hear their garbage anymore.
Like I said a minute ago about those protests, you know, I tell you that doesn't trip my trigger at all. A lot of stuff trips my trigger, right? But that's also another thing with these celebrities. I don't care what they say. I know who they are. I expect it. And I don't think anybody listens to them anymore either.
I think it actually. When these Hollywood celebrities, you know, like Glenn Close, I can't even remember which movie she was in, but Glenn Close was at the left-wing protests in Bozeman over the weekend. And so I saw a story, Hollywood celebrity joins protests in Bozeman. It's like, yeah, of course. Of course they did. Of course some liberal Hollywood celebrity that's ruining Montana would join in on the anti-Trump protests. But I agree with Matt Walsh. John, I'm kind of like you. When it comes to all these so-called No Kings protests, Matt Walsh said they were a disaster, that they were very disastrous for the Democrat Party. He talks about how the Democrat Party is trying to pander and trying to cater to two very different constituencies in their party right now. He says that the party is a coalition that is made up of two completely incompatible ideologies. On the one hand, you have these older Democrats, who, you know, the 60s washouts, who have been conned into thinking that Donald Trump represents a threat to the rule of law. And then you have the younger Democrats, the future generation of the Democrat Party, who explicitly oppose the existence of the rule of law. They want to bring about chaos at every opportunity. And over the weekend, that's exactly what they did all across the country.
Well, bingo, did you see what's happened at the DNC over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, really? First, Weingarten's out?
Yeah. First, they got rid of David Hogg. They slaughtered that hog. They got rid of Randy Weingarten, and they got rid of this other union guy, too. I mean, it was a purge over there. And that's exactly what's going on, is the people at the top are trying to get rid of these radicals, and they'd like to, you know, put a face on it. No, make no mistake, they're all absolutely radical, but what they would like to do is put a moderate face on this for the midterms and for the 2028 presidential election.
Yeah, it is interesting, though, that they, you know, at their so-called No Kings protest, they were on one hand trying to claim that Donald Trump isn't following the law, but on the other hand, their whole protest was about the fact that they want criminally legal aliens who broke the law to stay in this country. It's just a total joke. It's a total sham. And I think it actually hurt the Democrats. They had fun. They banged on their little, garbage cans or whatever. Like, good for you. You know, you're reliving the 60s. But I think it actually harmed the Democrats even more.
But you know what? Like, that protest and then Israel going after Iran, you know what both of those things did? It took the big, giant Hollywood hook to Alex Padilla and his stunt that he pulled with Kristi Noem the other day. Because, you know, he instigates a confrontation with federal agents the other day so that they can take him down
to handcuff him, and he's going to be the next hero. He's going to be walking this stage. This is going to be weeks of scandal. That didn't even last 24 hours.
Oh, yeah.
He got hooked right off the stage.
Nobody even knew who he was. He finally had a chance to be known and quickly got wiped off the news headlines. Let's go to Lori in Billings next up. Lori, what's on your mind?
Hi, good morning. I just want to say, I don't know if you guys have seen any of the news going on this morning about Tehran, and they were showing pictures of how many civilians are exiting the city, and the reporter there is saying that line, it looks like people coming out of Florida, the highway is just packed going out of the city. But they said that started well before Trump even made his warning. And I have friends who are from Iran, and they've been saying for years how much the people there, they hate this regime, the Ayatollah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't even know if people realize that just in Los Angeles alone, there are like over 600,000 Iranians, and they've been here long enough now. They've raised their children here. They're raising their grandchildren here. And because they can't go home.
Yeah, Iran used to be a very friendly ally to the United States of America. And then, of course, Jimmy Carter, like so many other things, screwed that one up. Yeah, Lori, great to hear from you. John, yeah, I saw the video. I mean, it is a stream of gold lights on one side of the interstate and then darkness on the other side of the interstate because everybody is fleeing Tehran. And to her point, I would guarantee you, if we had Dr. Mehrdad Kia from the University of Montana on the show right now, he would back up everything that she just said about the Iranian people despising that despotic regime in Tehran. And he grew up in Iran.
We talked a minute ago about the mistakes that the United States has made. And they've made them intentionally, okay, over the last 60 years. But see, another piece of these mistakes the United States has made is there have been several instances where you have these evil regimes teetering on the edge, like hanging by a thread, where all the United States or its allies had to do was just breathe on them, they would have gone over, and we didn't do it. Venezuela being a perfect example, back in the 2000s, they could have been toppled right then. We did nothing, and now look at where we are today.
Well, that's because the left and the media and the Democrats were too busily toppling our own institutions in America to turn us into another socialist Venezuela. And then, of course, look at all the connections with the Obama-Biden regimes and Tehranian, you know, terrorist sympathizers that they put right into these senior government positions. We're going to get to the mighty Human Z next.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping right back into the phone lines here. We get to our Montana callers first, but we got to get to the mighty Human Z as well. He does the Behind Enemy Lines podcast on Rumble with our friend John Jackson here. Z, what's going on out there in the Great Lakes region all the way back here to God's country of Montana?
Great Lakes greetings, gentlemen. You know, in Michigan, we don't want no kings, but we've got a queen, and that is Queen Folderface Gretchen Whitmer. With great irony, we're celebrating one of her laws 2 years in existence. It's called the Crown Act. So we ain't got no kings, but we got a Crown Act. Let me read this to you. The Crown Act stands for creating a respectful and open world for natural hair, aims to eliminate barriers in schools and workplaces, ensuring individuals are not denied opportunities based on their hair, texture, or style.
Huh. Now, would plugs...
Great irony, the Crown Act.
Yeah, plugs Biden would have been a big supporter of that legislation, it sounds like here. All right.
We got no kings, but we got my queen. Got my queen.
All right, Mighty Human Z, what's going on? John, looks like you're struggling with the reference there.
Yeah. He sent me that on DM on Twitter, and I'm reading it. I'm like, oh, come on, this is a parody, man. This can't be real, but I guess it is.
It's a real bill.
Oh, my God. I mean, well, I don't even know what that means for natural hair. What are we even talking about here?
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe it's, you know, plug. Bugs Biden. They felt like he was getting, you know, that people were being mean to him because he had less hair back in the 1980s than he does now. I don't know.
Is this the Michelle Obama bill, the Big Mike Obama bill? So we want to be free to just look like big linebackers instead of pretty women or something. What does that mean? I don't get it.
Yeah. Oh, hey, one thing I wanted to share. You were talking about how Padilla got wiped off the headlines. You know, first off, my favorite part about, you know, the U.S. Senator Alex Padilla, Alex is his first name, right? From California. So he tries to bum rush last week. He tries to bum rush Kristi Noem, the Secretary of Homeland Security. She's in the middle of a press conference. He obviously looked like he was a threat. Her security detail immediately pounced on this guy. And then after the fact, he tries to say, I'm a U.S. senator. Well, they don't know that. And why? And if you're a U.S. senator, why are you interrupting a press conference instead of waiting until after to talk to her? And why are you fighting with her Secret Service detail? But you know what my favorite part about the whole video was? Senator Padilla is like twice as big as that Secret Service guy. And that little guy just manhandled the heck out of Padilla. Like, what a wuss. He just got, you know. So anyway, that Secret Service guy just looks like a badass.
And what is so difficult, and I really have a lot of respect for these people that have to do this. You watch how they have to handle him with kid gloves, even as they try to usher him out of, and he's being combative and pushing back. They try to usher him out of the room. And to try to do that with kid gloves against the guy who you can see he outweighs that one Secret Service agent by probably by 40 or 50 pounds. Whereas if that was somewhere on the street, you know, you would just immediately grab this guy up, rip one of his feet out from under him and put him right on the ground. But it's hard enough to take somebody that's fighting and get him on the ground. But when you have to do it with kid gloves like that, people don't understand how difficult that is.
Yeah, but that reminded me of one of the audio sound bites that our producer Caden tracked down for me yesterday. You know, Stephen A. Smith, the ESPN guy.
Stephen A.
They've talked about him potentially running as a Democrat for president, but he's openly just mocking what a joke the Democrat Party has become. But anyway, the Trump War Room shared this audio as Stephen A. Smith eviscerates the far-left Senator Alex Padilla for his lunatic behavior last week. Here's what Stephen A. Smith said.
Here you have this Senator, Alex Padilla. Can Kristi Noem speak? Could you have waited till she finished to ask your questions? To shout your questions? You are a senator, right? You couldn't wait? So that was just you out of control because you were just losing it, huh? You, a United States senator, couldn't compose yourself and let the head of Homeland Security finish her thoughts before you asked the question. Couldn't do that, huh? Couldn't do it, huh?
Nope, couldn't do it. Couldn't do it, huh? Yeah.
Stephen A. Smith there, he is in that phase of his political journey. He's almost like Bill Maher, so some of these other people you could name that. You just don't know day to day where he's going to come down on an issue because he is a Democrat, he is a leftist, he is racist, okay? But because he's like seeing the light a little
against
bit,
white people.
Oh, yeah, racist yeah. against white people. But because he's seeing the light on some issues day to day, you never know what he's going to say.
Speaking of Bill Maher, so Bill Maher, apparently he sat down with Sean Penn, and I think they were smoking something because Bill was a little, hey, man, come on, man. But anyway, Sean Penn was just whining because Bill Maher sat down and had dinner with the president of the United States of America. And so Bill Maher, you know, fired back at that, speaking of lunatic Hollywood celebrities.
So another notable conversation we want to talk about this morning has to do with comedian Bill Maher and actor Sean Penn. Bill Maher defended his dinner with President Trump after Sean Penn said that he wouldn't meet with the president. Notable given his past history with meeting with other world leaders. Watch this.
The only reason I would not accept an invitation is because I see no.
Really? You meet with
I don't think
Castro and Hugo Chavez, but not the President of the United States?
I just personally wouldn't trust anything that was said in the room.
Yeah, great point by Bill Maher. You will go sit down with Fidel Castro, an enemy of America, who, by the way, was a racist who targeted black people in his murderous communist dictatorship. And you will sit down with these other, but you wouldn't sit down with the president of the United States of America.
Castro, Chavez, El Chapo. Okay, these right. people are responsible for hundreds of thousands of
You forgot
of
Zelensky.
Deaths.
You forgot.
Oh, yeah, Zelensky, too. I mean, oh, the Zelensky death toll takes it up probably over a million right there. He's just a fool. This is yet another celebrity that I do not care what he says. You know, have another drink, Rummy. Okay, did you take a look at this guy, Eric? He walks in there on a national show, national podcast, looking like a homeless guy. He's got his sneaker down there wrapped up in some kind of duct tape. I mean, and seriously, looking like he's had his head in a Jack Daniels bottle for the last 10 years.
Man, I tell you what, whenever we see, you know, the nonsense going on all over the world, and regardless of what you think about the Israel-Iran situation right now, I tell you what, aren't you even more happy to be living right here in Montana? Well, a lot of us live in Montana, but how many of you live in Montana but never get out and actually enjoy Montana? You know, you live in a concrete jungle, and when do you ever get out and enjoy the great outdoors? I tell you what, that's why I love having a pontoon boat. That's why I love having a family camper. I can have a different backyard every single weekend. I got my pontoon, and I got our travel trailer from Brett's RV and Marine. Montana-owned, family-owned. They've got the largest inventory of RVs and boats in five states. So check out the inventory on their website, brettsrv.com, or better yet, drop into one of their locations across the state. Of course, Billings, Butte, and Missoula. And then if you're listening in on the app from, you know, Washington State, Idaho, elsewhere, they've got dealerships out there as well. All right, John, you asked a really good question during the break. Throw it at our audience, the question that you were asking me during the break about the legislature and the spending bills and the governor.
Yeah, I'm always waiting to hear, because Montana has just, you know, terrible. There's like no source for up to date and true and accurate political news. I always ask you every week, hey, what's the status of all of these bills coming out of the legislature and Gianforte's action on them?
Yeah, because that's what we're waiting on. Is we know the governor's been vetoing some bills already, and he's been citing the cost and spending as the reasoning, in part, for vetoing those bills. I did see a report, I think this was from Jonathan Ambarian, who does a pretty good job overall covering the legislature and the state capitol. He said Friday, as of Friday, Gianforte has vetoed 39 bills, nine of them coming between June 6th and June 13th. In many cases, he cited the cost of those bills. All told, the ones that he has vetoed so far have included more than $60 million in annual spending and more than $20 million in one-time spending. With the latest round of vetoes, this is not only the most bills Gianforte has rejected from a single session, it's also more vetoes than the 2019 session, the last time that Montana had a Democrat governor and a Republican legislature. So that's kind of interesting.
Oh, my God. You said that to me at the break, and I was like, wait, look at our U.S. Congress. Can you think of a body and a group of people between the Congress and the presidency historically that is more effed up and more dysfunctional than they are? No, you can't. Except right now.
With the Montana legislature.
You have a Republican governor, a Republican legislature, and the Republican governor is vetoing 39 of their bills. That tells you there is absolutely zero cohesion between them. That's really bad.
Well, and I think, you know, what we saw was a fractious legislative session where you had a handful of Republicans teaming up with Democrats. So that's why people want to see more of this spending vetoed.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But what about those? We'll get to those next.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Right now, as we speak, the Israelis own the skies of Iran, which gives the world a window of opportunity. Now, I don't want to be flippant about this or nonchalant. You know, there's always a risk involved in military action, but there's also sometimes a risk of military inaction, especially at the right time. And this regime, unfortunately, was able to build up a lot of ballistic missile power and advance their nuclear program under Joe Biden. And they've been fomenting terror in the entire region. There's not one country in the region that wants the Iranians to have nuclear weapons.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Pure Talk, my wireless company, a veteran-owned company, believes every man, every woman who has faithfully served this country deserves to proudly fly an American flag that was made in America. And that's why Pure Talk is on a mission to give an allegiance flag, the highest quality American flag made in Charleston, South Carolina, to 1,000 veterans in time for these patriotic holidays. Just switch your cell phone service to Pure Talk. Do it this month, and a portion of every sale will go to provide these high-quality flags, hand-sewn, to deserving vets. Now, with plans starting at just $25 a month for unlimited talk and text and plenty of data, you can enjoy America's most dependable 5G network, all while cutting your cell phone bill in half. Average family saves over $1,000 a year. You just dial #250, say the keyword save now. Pure Talk's customer service will make the switch. #250, keyword save now, support our veterans, and switch to America's wireless company, Pure Talk.
Fox rocks.
I'm Michelle Pulino. New wave icons Devo and the B-52s are joining forces for a co-headlining run. The Cosmic Devolution Tour, set to hit 11 North American cities, starts September 24th in Toronto. The two bands got the idea to tour together earlier this year during the SNL 50th anniversary concert, where both shared the stage alongside modern stars like Post Malone and Lady Gaga. The B-52s initially retired from touring in 2022 and have been holding down a Las Vegas residency at the Venetian Theater. The bands will make stops in hometown New Jersey, Los Angeles, Charlotte, North Carolina, and Austin, Texas, wrapping it up in Houston November 2nd. Legendary singer and songwriter Stevie Nicks has expanded her 2025 live and concert tour, adding 8 new dates across the U.S. The new shows include stops in Brooklyn, New York, Hollywood, Florida, Detroit, Michigan, Portland, and Hartford, Connecticut, where she wraps it up in November. Ticket sales begin this week. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, John Jackson in the house here. Real quick, I was trying to find, I had a good summary. I can't remember if it was from the Jonathan Amberian report, but the biggest spending bills that everybody is waiting to see if the governor will veto or if he will line item veto some of these spending bills, those three bills are still sitting on his desk awaiting action. So, John, to your broader question about, hey, what about these spending bills that came out of the legislative session where a handful of Republicans teamed up with Democrats to pass these big spending bills? We're still awaiting to see what the governor will do on those three bills. The House Bill 2, which is the main budget bill, I would suspect that he's going to put some red ink on all of those in one way or another. Because the debate right now is you'll have, moderate Republican like Lou Jones will say, hey, this only increases the state budget 2%. Freedom Caucus and others are saying, actually, it's closer to 17-18%. I think Kendall Cotton came out in his analysis says 16% increase in spending. But then Lou Jones would say, well, that's because that money's kept in a trust. That's why it doesn't apply to the increase this year. But either way, people want to see some vetoes here.
And the big one we want to see a veto is that one that increases the budget by, almost 20%, 18%. That one has got to get vetoed. And like you just said, I think we have to, as conservatives, we have to eliminate this notion out there that there is anything as such as a moderate Republican. Okay, like George Bush said years ago during the war on terror, you are either with us or you are with the terrorists. Okay, if you are a moderate Republican, you're a Democrat. Okay, and I don't want to hear from you. If you are voting for more spending and more government and more taxes, you are a Democrat.
Well, but there's also a lot of people who were Democrats that left the Democrat Party because they got too crazy, and now they are voting as Republicans. Great Falls is a great example, where now Great Falls is practically all Republican. That being and 10 years ago, yeah, maybe you had to be a little more moderate to win a seat in Great Falls. Now,
it's grown more conservative, where you can win these elections being more conservative.
Democrats are like the CIA, bro. You never leave the agency, okay? You never leave the agency.
Well, then, if that's the case, then you can wipe out all these new voters that Trump's brought into the fold with the Republican Party.
No, not so, Democrat politicians.
Oh, politicians. Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right, let's go to Kim in Lovina on the phone lines. Kim, what's going on?
Oh, good morning. Well, I'm just getting cereal out of the pantry because I wasn't expecting you to come on so fast. I am calling from Lovina because this weekend we are having a huge event out here, and I think last year you spoke about it for us as well. It's Live and Large in Lovina, and we are starting the day with a pancake breakfast at the fire hall, and we're having a car show. We're having about 60 vendors in the park. We're having food trucks. We're having a parade that starts at 10. All of our historic buildings will be open for tour. And we're having a children's parade to start off our parade. And we're ending with a street dance.
Very cool. When does that start again?
It starts at 7 with the pancake breakfast, which is from 7 to 10. The vendors will be in the park from 10 to 4. The car show is from 11 to 3. The buildings are open from 9 to 3. The band starts playing at 6, and the band is Cimarron.
Very cool.
And
well, those are some
we're having
incredible
a silent auction as well.
Yeah, well, that's great. There are some incredible historic buildings in Lovina. John, I know you've passed through, driven through, maybe never stopped and gotten to look through any of the buildings. So good opportunity on your way to the cabin, maybe.
Oh, man, the best Montana parade I went to was years ago. I think it was July 4th in Lincoln, Montana, where they have the floats coming down the road, and they, guys with coolers of beer are tossing cold beers off the floats to people, just tossing them at you.
Oh, downtown Billings would never allow that. You can't have that kind of fun in downtown Billings. Doesn't even let you throw candy to kids anymore. For Pete's sake,
tossing cold beers, man.
Or did they reverse that finally? It's like, yeah. Then they wonder why people don't want to go to their parades hardly anymore.
You just imagine somebody taking a freaking cold beer right to the side of the head.
Oh, you don't miss that one. You catch that one. Monday's Montana Talks. Of course, we talked about these crazy far left so-called No Kings protests across Montana. Yeah, the same people that told you to shut up and wear a mask now want to talk to us about tyranny? Oh, for Pete's sake. Anyway, coming up on Tuesday's Montana Talks, Montana's Secretary of State Christy Jacobson in the house. Looking forward to catching up with her, talking about, you know, election security, voter integrity laws, and so much more. That's coming up Tuesday statewide, 9 to 10, right here.